Today is Yom HaShoah, and in memory of those who were murdered al Kiddush Hashem in those dark days of Jewish history, I want to look at one of the many tshuvot of Rav Ephraim Oshri in his Svarim Shelos at Tshuvot Mimamakim. Rav Oshri was a Rav and a survivor of the Kovno ghetto, whilst his wife and his children were murdered by the Nazis. And during the years of the ghetto and afterwards, many unique halakhic questions were posed to him. And whilst the answers are of interest from a halakhic perspective, I think it's really the questions that sharpen our awareness of both the physical and also the spiritual horrors of those terrible years. So the fifth volume of his Tshuvot, Simen Yud Gimel, addresses the following fascinating and heartbreaking question. In the summer of 1941, a certain Jew by the name of Lieberman travelled from Kovno to Vilna, which is a distance of about 100 kilometres. He went what was intended to be for a short period of time. Whilst he was away, Vilna was captured by the Germans on the 24th of June, which was a couple of weeks before they entered Kovno. Communications between the two cities were lost, and Lieberman's wife, she lost contact with him. A while later, a friend of her husband made contact with her. He had been with Lieberman when Vilna was captured, and they both, together with hundreds of other Jews, they tried to escape along the road back to Kovno. But the Nazis strafed the escaping Jews. Many of them were killed, and he never saw Lieberman again and was sure that he had also been killed. Now, this is a classic Agudan case from the Shah years. Was the widow permitted to remarry on the basis of that testimony or not? But actually, that's not what this Shah is about at all. There's a different twist to the tale, and that is that the wife was pregnant. When she gave birth a few months later to a baby boy, she named the child after her late husband. But then, a couple of years later after the war, lo and behold, Lieberman had been presumed dead. He showed up having somehow survived through the years of the Shah. Now, Baruch Hashem, the wife hadn't remarried, so there were no shaylos of an Eshet Ish or Mamzerut. And the couple were apparently delighted to be reunited. But the husband was aghast at the thought that his son was named after him, which suggested that he was dead, and he was insistent that the boy's name be changed. And the question came to Rav Oshri, what was the din? So Rav Oshri starts off by bringing Gemara from Masechet Shabbat, Daf Kuf Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph, which has a story about Rabbi Natan, who was able to prevent a child from dying as a result of Brit Milah, and therefore the child was named Natan HaBavli after Rabbi Natan. He also brings a tshuva of the Tashbait that records that the Ramban and Rabbeinu Yonah were mechutanim, something that I didn't know, and that when a shared grandchild was born, apparently the Ramban said that even though by rights the baby should be named after him, since Rabbeinu Yonah was recently deceased, he wanted the baby to be named Yonah instead of Moshe. And the reason why Rav Oshri is telling us this is to demonstrate that the father shouldn't be spooked by the notion of having somebody named after him whilst he's still alive, since that was an acceptable practice both in the times of the Gemara and also in the times of the Rishonim. And as an aside, it struck me as somewhat interesting that he seemed unaware of the fact that Sfardim routinely named babies after a living grandfather, which is presumably an illustration of how insulated Ashkenazic strongholds like Kovno were against Sfardim Minhagim in the mid or early 20th century. But then he goes on to demonstrate that it could be a form of zilzul to the father if the son has got the same name. He says that people will be calling the child and the father will think that it's him. I suppose if little Yankele is a naughty boy and his mother scolds him, "Oh Yankele, you naughty, naughty boy," and then Yankele, the father, turns round and thinks that he's being scolded. Or people over here might think that this woman is shouting at her husband rather than at a naughty child. And he also says that people might laugh at the father when they hear him talking to his son and calling him Yankele, thinking that he's a bit confused or strange when his name is Yankele and he's calling his son by the same name. And he also brings the famous passage from the Tzavah, from the Ethical Will of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, that a person shouldn't marry somebody with the same name as their father or their mother. And he points out that one of the reasons for this is so that the wife doesn't say Avraham to her husband and find that her father Avraham is turning round to answer her. And the same thing could be a problem for this little boy's siblings. They're shouting at him, and it sounds like they're shouting at their father. So therefore, Rav Oshri's ruling was the little boy's name should be changed, both in terms of usage and also in terms of any official documents that they have. And of course, this is just the tip of the iceberg in terms of the complex halachic sha'ilot that arose as a result of the Shoah. Hashem yikom damam, may Hashem avenge the blood of all those who were murdered. Ad kan.